You're listening to Pastor Bill Surjack. This is Sermon Gold.
If I didn't realize God was there to protect me, I probably would have never gone to the places that were the most important places for me to go. And so we want to be thankful that we remember that God's protection is there. Started off at an early age, too. We've been studying through the book of Ephesians, and this morning we're in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, in verse 10 through verse 13. So hear now the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Also, I've been reading in the mornings The Message, which is a translation by Eugene Peterson. Sometimes you read different things about a paraphrase is something when somebody takes a section of the Bible and puts it into words that are maybe clearer to understand. A version is something that is when a Bible is called a version, like the New International Version. It means that several scholars have written and put together, translating it from the Hebrew and the Greek. And when it's a translation, it means that there's one person, like the J.B. Phillips translation or the Message is a translation, not a paraphrase. But Eugene Peterson is trying to, as accurately as he can, translate what the Greek in this point says. And this is what it says in The Message. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. Take everything the Master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials. Put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll be walking away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued. When it is all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Thank God that he has not left us alone to know what he is like. But he's revealed himself in a way that we can understand by becoming a man, the person of Christ, and that revelation is accurately attained for us, and this is Holy Word. Several years ago, I was fascinated by Jungian-style psychology. I was reading some books by Jung and about Jung, and one of my favorite authors in that area was a man named Robert Johnson, who was an Episcopalian priest, and he was speaking at Canuga, just over in Hendersonville, for about a 4 or 5 day conference, and so I went over there for the conference. And it was mostly the people that came there were mostly Jungian analysts and other people who were particularly interested in Carl Jung. And it was rather amazing the diversity of the background of the people there, as far as their faith go. Most of them had some sort of an Oriental or Eastern religious bent that they did because Carl Jung seemed to like that kind of an orientation. Some of them were involved with Native American religions, where there was, I think, about 4 or 5 Christians there. There were 3 there who said they were witches. It was always interesting at the dinner tables. I don't think I've ever been to a conference where I was more respected, which is kind of weird. Almost every time after eating at the table, people would be at my table asking me questions about my belief and how I looked at things and how I reacted to things. And it became fairly obvious that I was one of the few Christians that were there. I tried to be as nice as I could at the expression of my faith, but nonetheless did not back away from what I believed, even though most of the people there believed something quite different. I had an assigned roommate. One day I was with my roommate, and he was talking with one of the witches, and he wanted her to read his tarot cards. And the witch said that she would be willing to read the tarot cards, but then she pointed at me and said, but he can't be there when I do it. So I said, well, this afternoon I'll be out for a walk, and he can go ahead and read the tarot cards at that time. It was interesting to me that the 3 witches that were there seemed a little afraid of me. I did not try to do anything, talk bad to them, or harsh to them, or anything like that. I tried to be as nice as I could, but they were all just a little afraid of me. And I realized after a while that they had good reason, because they were merely a daughter of Satan, and I'm a son of God. And so they had every reason to be a little afraid of me. And I think sometimes, particularly over the Halloween season, Christians get a little too worried about the powers of evil and the forces of evil in the world. particularly as it shows up in the ideas of witches and things like that, because we forget the fact that we are daughters and sons of God, and we are much more powerful, and the power that we have in us is much greater than the power that is in this world. Paul wrote the entire book of Romans, and he'd never been to Rome. And he wrote the entire book of Romans, and he only referred to Satan, actually twice if you look at it indirectly. He was trying to tell the Romans everything that they needed to know about the Christian faith. And he referred to Satan one time in around the 15th chapter where he said, "You will crush Satan under your feet." And he also in the 8th chapter where he talked about principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness. That seemed to be kind of a reference to Satan too. But you see, we're still in a struggle. But the struggle is not a strange voodoo witchcraft kind of a thing. It's the minor parts of the struggle. The major parts of the struggle have much more to do with what Paul is referring to here. Principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness. And how things of this world, and sometimes principalities are very normal things in this world, that begin to take over our souls, that begin to take over our lives. And we begin to become more and more of an acolyte of those things than we become a real son or a daughter of God. C.S. Lewis naturally referred to some of these things in one of his addresses. And this one is one called The Weight of Glory. And he talks about the importance of individuals beginning to know God and how powerful just the individual person that we run into is. And here's what he says at the end of his address. "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror or a corruption. If we were to meet it now, it would only be in a nightmare. All day long, we are, in some degree or another, helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibility, it is with the awe and the circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, those are mortal, and their life is to ours as a gnat. But it is immortals with whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors are everlasting squanders. This does not mean that we are perpetually solemn. We must play. For our merriment must be of the kind, and is in fact the merriest kind, which exists between people who have, from the onset, taken each other seriously. No flippancy or superiority, no presumption, and our charity must be real and costly love, with deep feelings for the sins, in spite of which those of which we love the sinner. No mere tolerance or indulgence, which we parodies love and flippancy. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, our neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. If he is your Christian neighbor, he is holy in an almost the same way. For him we are the glorifier and the glorified. Glory himself is truly hidden." We are in a constant battle in our world to begin to help move people toward the type of person that will one day be a full son of God or a child of God. Lewis said that if we saw that person one day, we would be tempted to fall down and worship that person. Or we are possibly the type that are moving people to a horror, that if we saw the people in their full horror today, we would shriek from them and see them only in nightmares. All day long, we are trying to move people into the realm of being daughters and sons of God, or helping them along in that way. How do we do that? We can't do it by force. You know, that would be one of the ways that people try to get people to follow them, by force that is either open or subtle force. I was just reminded recently of a quote of Napoleon when he was on the rock at St. Helens in exile near the end of his life. It was a well-known quote, and it says, "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded great empires. But upon what would these creations of our genius depend? Upon force. Jesus alone founded his empire upon love. And to this day, millions would die for him. The empire that Jesus founded is not one on force. We can't force people into it. But nonetheless, we are in a battle of moving people toward one or toward the other. And the basic battle is the point of being the lordship of Jesus Christ. Whether Jesus is going to be Lord in our world or whether something else is going to be Lord. You know, there are many other things that battle for lordship. Principalities are one of those things that battle for lordship. Not just individuals, but principalities. Several years ago, I read a book by William Stringfellow called An Ethic for Christians and Other Aliens in a Strange Land. And one of the things he was talking about there was he was taking up what the word principality would mean. And principality is basically just an organizational structure. And there's all sorts of them. And Stringfellow said that principalities actually begin, their organizational structures actually after a while begin to take on a personality of their own. They become like an entity in themselves. And what they begin to do is to get people to serve them instead of them serving Jesus as Lord. And that's true of all principalities that are in our world. That's true from anything from the United States government to the Presbyterian Church in the USA. They're all principalities that all have to be brought into control of the lordship of Jesus Christ, just like each individual has to be brought into the lordship of Christ. And as individuals are brought more into the lordship of Christ, then individuals can then begin to affect and direct principalities all the more. That's what it's about. To begin to bring ourselves under the full lordship of Christ, the principalities and the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, the things that come from this world, also under the control of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not doing that well. And probably not so much because we don't have good techniques. We probably in the church today have better techniques than Jesus had as far as being able to present the gospel. But part of it is because we proclaim it so superficially. We don't really get inside of people's hearts and lives so that people actually begin to, down deeply where they live, begin to look and recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. In most people's lives, hundreds of other things are Lord. And Jesus is usually someone on the periphery that they pay slight tribute to once in a while. He's not the very core of their lives, the Lord of their lives. And we've almost lost the ability to be able to speak inside of people and to be able to touch people's hearts and lives. Sometimes the only way we can do that is one-on-one, where we begin one by one to talk to people inside their hearts. I was real impressed with a new ministry that my pastor is now doing, and it's a mass media ministry. As I talked to Ben a couple of weeks ago, Ben Hayden, my pastor, from Key Biscayne back years ago when he was there. And what he's doing, he's working with Changed Lives still, but now instead of a radio or TV ministry, it's an internet ministry. And Ben is on there for just short vignettes, 6 to 8 minutes, and he talks. And it sounds like he's talking to your heart very directly and very individually, even though it's kind of a mass media thing. But it's still person to person and direct. And that's the way we need to begin. Instead of just talking superficially, we need to be able to talk to people inside their hearts. Because of the cover of our bulletin, where we quote one of the verses from the Gospel of Luke, people will say, the kingdom of God, here it is or there it is, but it says the kingdom of God is within you. It is deep inside of our hearts and souls. Years ago, when we would visit Sandy's parents, they used to like to do cocktail parties, kind of in our honor. As you might imagine, I'm probably the world's worst person to invite to a cocktail party. I am a disaster at superficial cocktail party conversation. As a matter of fact, when we would go up to Cincinnati beforehand, I would do research on what the Cincinnati Reds were doing so that I'd be able to make small talk at the cocktail parties that we have and be able to hold up my own. I would be much better if one of the people were starting to express something that was bothering them, and then that person and I would go over and talk a little more deeply about what's going on inside of our souls. Because you see, that's where God is doing his work right now. And we in the church need to stop doing Christian cocktail party conversation.
And we need to be able to learn again the art of real conversation, of being able to talk to people's hearts, to be able to reach inside.
And that's where the battle is. The superficial part, the structure on the outside will be taken care of if we ever get to the point where people's hearts and minds really begin to honor Jesus as Lord.